I was working on a machine. The machine was faulty. I stepped off the machine. It dragged me under. Within that split second, I thought my life was over. I thought I was getting minced out the other end of this machine and what it was capable of. So much was just going in my head, and I was telling myself, this is a dream. This isn't real. I lay on the floor. My work colleagues come over, and on their face said it all. Like, they see me, and I was like, shit, I'm fucked. I'm done. Like, I'm gonna bleed out.
Connect with us on the Emotion Wellness Podcast for a transformative journey of human connection. Witness personal stories, improve your mental health education, and acquire valuable resources for optimizing your well-being. And visit emotionwellness.com for more information.
Welcome to the Emotion Wellness Podcast. My name is Jason Turner, and I am here with Mr. Jamie Corliss.
Happy to be here, and we have one of my favorite people in the world on the podcast today, my cousin Luke Aston over here from England.
Yeah, it's nice to be out here, and thank you for those kind words. Appreciate that, bro.
We should just let him talk. We'll get more listeners if we just let him.
I know his voice is definitely a lot more appealing than ours.
Do you want to start the line of questioning out, Jamie, or you want me to?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of, there's a lot of reasons why you're a perfect person to have on this podcast. I mean, but you've been to Emotion, you've gotten to experience what we do. Yeah. How do you feel like what we do relates to the journey that you've been through and like what that journey is? Because I mean, obviously these people probably don't know you. So
yeah, so the main thing is the community and the circle that you're in out here. So with my journey, since losing my leg, one thing that I found that's helped me is going, because I've always been into fitness. So as soon as my accident happened, I was in my hospital bed. And I was like, fuck, what am I going to do for fitness now? I need to do something that's going to keep me going. Like, I want to train, but I've accepted that losing my leg, I'm not going to be able to train how I used to train. I'm not going to be able to go and do a marathon or go on the stepper or the treadmill. I mean, don't get me wrong, in my head, I was like, man, there's probably technology and legs out there that allow me to do that. But I need to find something that's going to allow me to still stay fit. So I was in my hospital bed, and straight away I was I went on the Paralympics website. Even in my head, I was like, this is just crazy. I'm going on the Paralympics, but I'm like, I know I can do something. So I kind of looked at all the categories that I'd fit in, and rowing come up, and it was an adaptive group. So I was like, an adaptive group, like, let's see. So I went down there, and there was all different types of people from backgrounds. So there was one amputee there. There was someone that had MS, someone was paralyzed, and straight away I felt I felt welcome. People understood me, and they didn't necessarily have to understand everything about me, but they knew the struggles, and I knew the struggles of what they'd been through. There was people that was like permanently in a wheelchair. When I first went down there, I was in a wheelchair. I knew what it's like, and I hated being in a wheelchair because I'm a fit person, and like, it sounds bad, but it just wasn't me. I was like, I need to get up, I need to move. But anyway, the little stuff, being in a wheelchair, like, man, like, I'm in the UK and I want to get to a door. I have to look for a ramp to get to that door. I can't just go up the curb. And when I'm in this community, this group, I can sit down and speak to them about different aspects of life, what I've struggled in. And it's one place where I didn't feel judged, which, the society that we live in these days, I do feel people judge you just straight away. They look at you and they'll be like, oh yeah, like, they just don't know the struggles. So yeah, like, when I first come here, I think it was Emotion, I think it was 2 years ago. Like, as soon as I stepped in and you showed me around these different rooms, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, yeah, what you can provide for people, what you can, the help that you can give them. It's just everything.
Yeah, I remember when you first came over, it was crazy how much we were able to relate through the emotions I went through and getting sober and entering into recovery and starting to work on like my own depression and mental health battles, and you with what happened with the accident and what happened with your mental health. And it was like, if you would have taken away any mention of substances for me or your leg, you would have thought we were talking about the same fucking journey.
Most definitely, yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I remember. And, you know, that's everyone in life, you know, has struggles. Some are just more visible than others. You know, you never know what anyone's going through. And, you know, one thing that's helped me, you know, is resilience. You know, you just have to push through it no matter what, and acceptance, you know, when the time happened, like, so with my accident, I was working on a machine. The machine was faulty. I stepped off the machine. It dragged me under. Within that split second, you know, I thought my life was over. I thought I was getting minced out the other end of this machine and what it was capable of. So much was just going in my head, and I was telling myself, this is a dream. This isn't real. I lay on the floor. My work colleagues come over, and on their face said it all. Like, they see me. And I was like, shit, I'm fucked. I'm done. Like, I'm going to bleed out. When I had two blood transfusions when I was on the scene, and, you know, I was lying there. And I remember trying to move my right leg, and I was like, can't feel nothing. And then moved my left leg. I was like, okay. Because I initially thought I was paralyzed. I was like, oh, shit, I'm not going to be, I can't, what's going to happen? You know, my partner's going to want to leave me. I'm not going to be able to live the life that I love. Like, I might as well just go now, you know. And in the past, I'd been through some dark places, you know, not wanting to be here, etc. So I remember in my head, it was like, Luke, if you want to go, now is your time to let go. And this is the conversation that I'm having in my head. I was like, now is your time to go. And I was like, I'm not ready to go. You know, I'm going to fight this. But, you know, I went for 3 hours of just basically trying to stay alive. You know, paramedics come. The first response paramedics had come. They couldn't really help me. They gave me gas and air. And I was like, I want to get out of here. Second response come. They gave me ketamine to help me, you know, with the pain. That kind of helped to an extent. And I remember thinking to myself, I just want to wake up in the hospital now. You know, I'm upset. I'm crying. Get me out of here. I want to speak to my girlfriend on the phone. You can't do this. You can't do that. Stay still. And then I remember the fire brigade come. And like their faces, like, I mean, I'm no professional, but I know that this is the first type of accident that they've experienced. They don't know the machine. I know the machine. So as I was lying there, and as drugged up as I was, I'm like, you need to undo that bolt there. You need to do that bolt. And they were like, just lie down. We can do this. And in my head, I'm like, but they're not gonna. They don't know what they're doing, respectfully. And then I must have like knocked out. And, you know, in life to say, like, when you it's a near death experience, you see like a white light. Honestly, that's all I kept seeing. I was looking up, and I just kept seeing, and I was like, something is trying to take me, but I'm not going. Like, I'm not, today is not my day. This is what I kept saying. Today is not my day. I'm gonna wake up in a hospital bed with my partner, with my mom, my dad, and my daughter's gonna be there. I must have blacked out for a little bit, and then I've come around again. And all of a sudden, there was this guy who had a green helmet on, and he was like, I'm from the air ambulance. And he expanded a bit about himself. He says, we're going to try and do what we can to try and save your leg. He said, but if not, we're going to have to amputate it. How do you feel about that? And I'm like, oh, what type of question is that, man? Like, I knew my leg had gone. Like, I knew what that machine done. And in my head, I'm like, everything's just going from my head. I'm like, even if they can save my leg, my rehab journey is going to, like, I would rather lose a leg, as mad as it sounds. So in my head already, I'd kind of told myself that my leg is gone. And so he said, well, how do you feel about that? And I looked at him, and like, I remember crying. I was like, mate, just do what you can to get me out of here. And, you know, the rest was history. I woke up, and I remember looking down, and my leg is gone. And I think what helped me in my journey is that I accepted, when I was lying on the floor, what had happened, that I'd lost my leg, you know. And yeah, that was it. And I was in hospital for 2 weeks, and just, yeah, that goes back to me. I guess what's helped me is joining the groups and my journeys. It's, you know, have my ups and downs, of course, but yeah.
I think for so many people, it sounds like, and maybe on some level it is this way. I know for me, it wasn't in a lot of my journey, where it's like a decision is made. That's a huge part of the, I'm going to accept. But yeah, then there's a process that goes with it. It's not just like, oh, I accept it and then I'm good. It sounds like that when we talk about the story, right? Like it took resilience and it took acceptance. It's kind of like when a patient says, I'm going to work on my anger. Well, what does that really mean? Like, how are you actually working? So how do you actually move into acceptance, right? I envision, like, for me, when I've struggled with stuff, there's a battle, like maybe a, you know, looking at like the first few days after you were in the hospital, like did thoughts show up? And when those thoughts did come up, or doubt, how did you tackle them? Cause I'm assuming it wasn't like, I accept and then I'm good. Like it,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And you get what I'm saying about how this like thing with, cause people listening, I think we hear this a lot with stories and it's like, yeah, okay, cool. You accepted it. Well, what does that mean? Like how, like for me, it looks like when I was battling the voice in my head around not being good enough, it was like a, for, it seemed like for months, it was an all day, I got to disrupt that thought. I got to replace it with something else. I got to fight. I'm not just sitting in a chair peacefully. Like there's chaos going on inside my head because I was raging war on myself. And I imagine you had to rage war on the new order of things. And the way that...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good question. Cause yeah, I can sit here and be like, yeah, I accepted it. And you know, don't get me wrong. Again, I think as humans, you know, everyone, it's okay to be upset to start off with. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to get angry. You know, we're only human. I can sit here and be like, acceptance, da da da, everything's fine. You know, 95% of the time I'm good. I still have my days. So yeah, you know, and initially waking up, again, I accepted my legs are never gonna grow back. I understand that. It was hard for me. You know, I was getting upset. I'd be crying at night time. Like, why me? Why did this happen? Like, how have I lost my leg? And yeah, so I guess it's having hope, you know, and what I mean by having hope is like, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel, like no matter what. And at the end of the day, what helped me for starters is my partner. You know, she's amazing. She stood by me, which helped. And I know that's not going to apply to everyone because some people don't have that partner. But she helped me a lot. And obviously the love that I have for my daughter, she was three at the time. So that obviously helped me a lot to keep me going. And it's, so like, you know, even then it's you ask that, and when I dive into it, it's like emotions kind of come back that kind of go back. But again, you know, dealing with those emotions, and that just goes to show, you know, again, we're only human. But yeah, so accepting that my leg's not going to grow back. And when I meet people, sometimes they say to me, oh, Luke, you know, you're doing so good. I don't know how you do it, because like I'd be in my house, you know, upset, crying. And I'm like, but that's just not me. So me sitting in the house, asking why me, that's not gonna help. Like I have to get up and do shit. You know, I'm not gonna let this accident define who I am just because I've lost a leg. I'm gonna cry for help all the time, and be like, oh, I deserve this, I deserve that. Like, you know, in reality, no one gives a shit about you. Like when I've been in my wheelchair in my leg, you know, sometimes I have walked around, oh, that person's gonna hold the door open for me. Man, that door swings back in my face. They don't give a shit about me. That's the reality. So, you know, staying in your own lane, and you have to have hope. Hope is everything. If you don't have hope, you know, it's where's the direction? Because hope for me, you know, gave me direction. So when I was lying in that hospital bed, I'm like, okay, straight away, I was like, I'm going to put myself into a situation where I'm in a group, again, the community. You know, I'll always refer to community because that's just everything. So first of all, I want to put myself in this community. I want to get out of the house. I don't want to sit in four walls because that's just not good for the brain. You know, it will send you crazy. Mm. Thoughts do come. I was in hospital for nearly 3 weeks, and let me tell you, lying in that bed and the ward that I was in, the crying, the screaming, I'm like, get me out of this place, you know, get me out of this place. It's not good. So, you know, the hope that I had is that I knew that I was gonna go and achieve great things, and making my family proud. And I think that's, you know, I wanted to get into a sport. So when I say I kept going into this community, it was a rowing community. I've never done rowing in my life, but I was like, I want to learn something new. So since my accident, I'm doing stuff that I've never done before. Like, so I was like, let's do rowing. Started doing rowing, and all of a sudden, the coach that I had, he saw something special in me. He was like, you know, you could do LA Olympics. So straight away, I'm like, wow, that's a bit of hope for me there. You know I can work towards this goal. It was nice how he seen that I had something in me, you know, and I just gave it a go. So that was going quite well. I went to Italy to do a competition. It was more of a fun competition, but it was going out of my comfort zone. Another thing, you know, going out your comfort zone, that really helps. Being uncomfortable is where you grow the most. And, you know, going to Italy, I took my partner with me, I took my daughter with me. And I'm just like, I remember standing there, I'm looking into this big, big river, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, this is just crazy how life has changed. I'd done it, I'd done quite good. I got a silver and I got a bronze, got home. And then, you know, I sat down and I was like, rowing for me, like I had an injury base. So my left knee was starting to play up and it was affecting me. And I wasn't enjoying it as much as I did because I'm getting off the boat and I'm like, man, I'm in pain. Like you have to enjoy something. I don't want to force myself to do something that I'm not enjoying, you know. So my passion started to go in that. So then now I was back at like phase one. I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? I need to do something. Like lifting weights has always been a part of my life and I knew that I would always lift weights, but I wanted something that could take me somewhere and something that I could inspire people. You know, no matter what happens in life, there's always like the end of the tunnel, you know, you can achieve great things. So I got into, I found another group. I enjoy being on the water. That's what I realized. I was like, okay, I like being on the water. What can I do? So I found paracanoeing. Again, went down to my local place, jumped on the water, and straight away the coach saw something in me. So now I'm having this feeling. It's an undescribed. It's like it's a nice feeling that someone sees something in me because what I've been through, and I'm like, wow, I've really made something out. You know, I've made something out of this. People see that I have a talent, and that was making me excited. Got on the water straight away. He's like, Luke, like you're really good. You've not done this before. Nah, you can go far. Again, LA. So I'm like, yes, let, you know, I'm excited about this. Like I can make it. And again, you know, my family, my friends are believing in me. I'm telling them and they're like, Luke, like, I know you can do it. Like, you know, I'm going to let's book the place now for LA. So I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And then I started going. So then I met some of the GB team and I started to go where they train. I'm like, this is really like propelling now. This is getting good. I'm enjoying myself. And then all of a sudden I got into the GB Academy, which was amazing because I'm like, they really see potential in me. And at this point now it was starting to become, it was a full-time job for me where I had to travel to the GB headquarters. It was an hour down the motorway. You call it a highway, just to clarify what that is. So there was a lot of traveling for me that was involved. And then all of a sudden, my coach, he was amazing. He had this connection with Aston Martin, Formula One team. He was like, Aston Martin, when I got on board, they want to design a seat for you. So I'm like, wow, like, you know, everything is just coming to me. Managed to go down the Aston Martin headquarters in Silverstone. They were showing me how the Formula One cars were made. I gave them, and we had a seat. It was like a shelf. So they 3D scan this on the machine, you know, their 3D scanners, like millions of pounds, what they use for the Formula One cars. So that was a process. So that was going on in the background. So all of this is just like propelling, and it's a lot at the same time. It's a lot for me to take on. So all this is happening now, and my life again, you know, since the accident, my values have changed. Like one thing that from a journey is time. You know, time is the most valuable thing. You know, it's more valuable than time. So also I'm doing all the taking part in all these sports, and I have a family as well. So with the last year and a half, I haven't been working and I've been doing all these amazing things with my family. So I started to like miss being with them. And I was like, okay, what do I value the most? Like I can go to LA, I know I can. As an athlete, I know what that's going to take, and that's a lot of dedication and time, because I've been in the fitness industry, I've done competitions, make a sacrifice, like, and my partner, out of everyone, she knows, like, Luke, can we go for food? I can't go for food because that's not in my diet, that's not in my macros. So this was kind of like coming back for me now. And you know, I decided to come to Texas. When I said to my coach, I was like, I'm coming to Texas for 2 months, he's like, whoa, you can't do that, you got to train. So I'm like, okay, like not F you, but in respect, I want to do what I want to do. I've had this accident. I do what I want to do. So I was like to him, I'm going to have a little break. Like, I'm just going to take some time. I'm going for a legal claim at the moment. This is hard, you know, and he understood. So yeah, I've come to America, spending this time, you know, it's been pretty amazing. Sorry to go off subject then, because, you know, you asked me a question, but I think I get carried away sometimes in
what I'm saying. I was tracking with it. It sounds like one of the things that really helps people on their journey is to be seen.
To be seen, most definitely,
You have to be around people to be seen.
Yes.
So this isolation is really dangerous because it keeps us from being seen and finding the right community.
Yeah.
And engaging in, you said it better than most, which is like, you know, we call it the outside our comfort zone, but it's inside our growth zone, mm-hmm. you know? So that's how I look at it. It's like the growth zone is the discomfort zone.
Yeah.
That's where all beautiful stuff happens. Yeah. It sucks in the moment and none of us like it. And then to continue to stay focused on, you know, what I was impressed with that part of your story is, you know, getting a seat made for you by Aston Martin and like all of the, seems like it happened pretty quick.
Really fast.
And so could get to your head.
Yeah,
right?
Like, and it did.
I'm something or I'm somebody. And, but you stay grounded in the fact of like, oh no, this is, I want to be, I know who I want to be as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who I want to be as a father. I know who I want to be as a partner. And I think in today's world, man, that is, it's not as common as it used to be. I think there's a lot of individuality. There's a lot of selfish pursuits. There's a lot of idealization and like fantasy, and to stay grounded in family values and time with people that love me. Yeah. And, you know, and having someone that, I didn't lose a leg, but I got real sick last year, and I know the value of a partner that shows up, you know? And that can be really hard when you have to, you're the one who, and I'm assuming, you know, you and I have talked a little bit. It's like, for me, the protector and the provider are strong archetypes and strong values that I hold, right? Like, I've created a business, I provide employment for people. I want to do the same with my relationships. Like, I want to be a provider, I want to protect. And when I was sick, all that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't protect you from, you know what I mean? Like, we're vulnerable, because if we're out, I don't have the ability to do, you know, protect you the way that I want. And I imagine you felt some of that when you were.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, like I said, there's certain aspects of my life that I still do struggle with. Like, you know, talk about protecting and believe it or not, this is a thought that I have. I'm in my house sleeping. I take my leg off when I sleep. If someone comes in the house, you know, I have to quickly put my leg on and like, I have to protect them. But that little things like that play in my head. And I'm like, you know, I hope it would never happen. But again, I've got to be ready. I have to be ready. Like, I kind of want a plan. And there was a funny scenario that I went to. So when we come to Texas 2 years ago, we drove to New Orleans and we went to Bourbon Street. Never experienced anything like it before. And like, if you know, if you've been there, you understand what that place is like on edge. So this is the first time I've been in a scenario now where I've got my partner. She was pregnant at the time, my daughter, and these people are like coming up to you, and I'm like, I will do my best what I can to protect them, but deep down, like realistically, I can't chase anyone. Because my leg don't allow me to do that. Okay, I can get a running blade, but I don't have that with me, you know. So it's certain things that I do struggle with, and believe it or not, it's the little things. So Jamie comes to the lake house for Gabby's birthday, and we're sitting down talking, and one of his friends was watching the England game at the time, and they was talking about, oh, just going to the park and playing football. And like, let me tell you, like, that had quite an impact on my mindset, because I wasn't the best footballer, but I'd like a kick around. I was like, I'd love to kick ball with my cousin and his friends. You know, I'm from the UK. It's big out there. That'd be cool. But I'm sitting there and it's slightly eating me up, because I'm like, I just can't go and kick a football. Mm. It's not going to happen. I can go in goal, can't really dive. And that's the impacts that I have. So it's the most smallest things. And my daughter now, she loves playing football. And even my one-year-old, like, it's crazy. Like, she kicks and I'm like, man, she could be a good footballer. But I'm like, I can take on football, but if I want to go and kick a ball in the garden, it's going to be a lot harder. But then what goes on in my mind is like, I will find a way. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, I can't do this, I can't do that. I will find a way to do that, whether that means applying a certain amount of pressure on my prosthetic and kicking it. I still can kick a ball, not like I can. And I think the hurdles that I come across in life, I'll always find a way to make it work. simple stuff like going to the gym. You know, I know a lot about the gym, doing exercises. When there's certain exercises that I just have to work around, I can't do them how I used to do them, but I will find a way. I was at a gym somewhere in the UK. It was actually a family holiday. Guy come up to me. He was like, I don't want to be too intrusive, but he's like, I'm a personal trainer and I want to work with, I want to work on the adaptive side. Like, what do you do? How I've been watching you and how do you do it? And I'm like, I'm new to this as well, mate. I'm just working around it. And he was like, you know, fair play to you. Like, yeah. So, you know, you learn as you go. And sometimes you don't have that plan. You know, you hit these hurdles and you just have to work way around it. And days when I don't have my leg on and I'm in crutches and look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, fuck, and I do ask myself sometimes, why me? You know, I don't know why, but I've accepted that my leg is gone. It's not going to grow back and I just have to keep it moving and, you know, give my family what I can and just be blessed that I'm here. That's another thing, you know, taking in a moment and appreciating time. I mean, I can say so many stories that I've come across and the way that I've took it. I went to Dubai a year ago. We went to a water park. Never been to a water park since an amputee. So this is quite new to me. We walked into this water park and in my head, straight away, I analyze everything. Am I going to go on that slide? What's going to happen? Da, da, da. So we sat down. This guy's come over to me. Very, very polite guy. He was like, hi, I'm the manager of this water park. I could see he was quite nervous, to be fair, how to approach me. And he was like, it's been brought to my attention that you have, and this is it was like, you have, he's like, how do you want me to refer to, before we carry on? I was like, I'm an amputee. It's like, as an amputee, it was like, safety's first, all this stuff. He's talking about safety. And basically he's saying to me that you can't go on that slide. You can't go on that slide, but you can go on that slide. And I honestly, like, I wanted to cry. Like, I was like, you know, I'm pre-accident, theme parks and water parks. My thing, I'm a big child, I love that. I want my daughter to experience what I experienced. And now I'm being told that I can't go on these slides because I have a prosthetic leg, you know. And it's not like I can take my leg off, because how am I going to get up the stairs? I can't. If I wanted to, maybe I could, wouldn't be an issue, but I don't want to do that, you know. So I sat there and I was quite proud on how I actually switched the mindset. I was like, okay, first of all, it's safety issues. I get there's rules that are in place, I understand it's safety, I can't get around that. Number two, I'm grateful for starters. I'm in Dubai. It's an amazing place. Three, I'm here with my family and my daughters, and I will get to experience what my daughter experiences. My partner can go on with her. That's not an issue. As much as I want to, like, this, not the selfish side, but as much as I want to go on with her, I can't, but I will see her enjoyment. So, and it probably took 10, 15 minutes, and I just got on with the day, and I was like, I told myself, I was quite, wow, how I handled that. I could have easily got upset and be like, I'm gone. Like, I don't want this. This, like, my life sucks. I can't do this. I can't do that. But I'm focusing what I can do. And that's another thing to take. Focus what you can do, not what you can't do. If you can't do it, you know, like I say, look around and what you can do. Another example of mine was, we went to a theme park not long before we come here for my daughter's birthday. There was this new ride. And believe it or not, I'd been on this ride before, but I wore trousers. So this is a thing that I deal with. So I wear trousers. People don't see my disability. They don't know. I can go on rides. Obviously, there's signs there that say, hey, again, I feel like not discriminating, it's safety, but if you have less than three limbs, you can't ride this. And I'm like, in my head, like, you can't tell me that I can't ride this. Yeah. So I've been on this ride before, so this time I wore shorts. So my daughter's so excited. She's jumping around, daddy, daddy, I can't wait. The woman's looked at me. She looked at my leg. She looked at me. She's like, she said, are you above the knee or below the knee amputee? So above the knee means that my amputation, I don't have the knee movement in my leg. So my amputation is above my knee. So the prosthetic leg that I got does my knee movement. Below the knee is they still have a knee movement. So recovery for them, it is easier. I mean, you know, I say it easier. There's always it's a controversial thing in the amputee world. You know, you're below the knee amputee. It's harder. Listen, we go through this. It's the same for everyone. Okay, you still have that knee movement, so it is easier for you to run, but it's still, you're still going through this traumatic process. So I says to the woman, I was like, I'm a below the knee amputee. I'm like, she don't know. Like, and she's like, okay. She's walked off. She's come back. Have you rode this? Have you been in this ride before? Yeah, I come on here last week. okay, she's gone back over. Now, like, my brain is just like, I'm getting very self-conscious. I'm getting worried. I'm like, I'm going to be refused. Like, being refused is I don't want to be refused from this ride. So, like, my heart's going, I was like, can I sit at the front? Yeah, no problem. Sat at the front of the ride. And, like, where I'm sitting at the ride now, the control room to the ride is here. They're all looking at me. Like, I've come to the conclusion, I'm going to get turned away from this ride. And, you know, my daughter there, she's bouncing, and they're looking at me. Another guy's come over. Hi, mate. He's talking, introduced who he was. Are you above the knee or below the amputee? Oh, fuck's sake, I'm below the knee. Okay, and he's digging that. He's like, so what is a bit above the knee and below the knee? I've had to tell him, so I'm trying to think a bit fast here now. Like, you know, what I've just told you about my knee. He can clearly see. I feel like he knows a little bit here. And I'm like, I don't want to sit here and argue that I'm a below the knee. But I did say to him, I'm like, do you know a lot about prosthetics? No, that's why I'm asking you. So we've had a little conversation. He's come back. He's like, I'm really sorry. So bear in mind now, I've sat on this ride for 10 minutes. This ride is full with people, kids screaming, wanting to go. So I'm aware of what's going on. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is be refused from this ride. He's come back over. I'm really sorry. We're going to have to refuse you. And like, I was like, so my daughter can't go on. No, I can go on and sit next to your daughter. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want a stranger to ride next to my daughter. But, and she's, as soon as she's heard that, she started crying, daddy, I want to ride it. So this is so much, my brain is going 100 mile an hour now. And I'm like, how do I cope with this? My partner's over the other side waiting for me to come out of the exit. I was like, I said, ride on there with her. I'll wait here. And like, I've had to stand off the ride, and let me tell you, everyone's looking at me. They can see my leg. And I honestly wanted to cry. In fact, I did cry. Like, my daughter went, so that the ride is gone now, and I put my sunglasses on, and I just sat there in tears, drip, like it was pouring from my face. And I'm like, it's my daughter's birthday. I'm at a theme park and I'm crying. I could hear her screaming on the ride, enjoyment, and I'm trying to use that for fuel to make me better. Mm. And I'm like, she's having a good, don't like forget me and how I feel at this moment in time. I have been refused. It's something I've never encountered. She's come off the ride. I love that, daddy. And I've still got my sunglasses on. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm just trying to take in the guys, like, I'm sorry. And I just felt like saying to him, man, piss off. Like, I know, again, it's rules that they have. He was explaining the rules to me. This ride's tested, da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Partner's like, what's happened? I'm just like, I've been refused to go on a ride. Like, for me, my life was riot. And she's like, oh, no. And I'm not going to lie when I say about not everyone's perfect. So I did find that hard to deal with. And it put me on a negative mindset. So we watched a little show, and my partner, it was quite hard because I felt like she understands my life, but at least she didn't understand how it felt with me. So there's a bit of clashing here. And she was like, I know, but like, I don't want it to like ruin the day. And like, I'm just in like war mode here now. I'm like, no, it has ruined my day. This has ruined my day. Da, da, da. We did end up leaving early, but I was like, with the hotel that we went to, you know, it had a pool, it had entertainment. So we did do that. And, you know, as time got on, but that's just a message to say, like, even though this was new to me, I've never come across being turned away from a ride, but I dealt with it and I had to get on with it. Again, what I was doing, I was using these tools that I learned to appreciate that I'm at a theme park, because I'd been refused from rides before when I was in a wheelchair. Like, and this was in Denmark, they refuse me. They ask you questions. If the ride gets stuck, are you able to go downstairs safely? I'm in a wheelchair. I didn't have my leg at this time. No, you can't ride it. And I feel like I'm being singled out because of that. Again, safety features. So I'm just, things that I've been through in life, I'm just trying to piece together and be like, okay, I'm going to work around this. And, you know, I'm aware now that I know when I go to a theme park, I'm potentially going to be refused from a ride. It kills me and it sucks, but I'm aware of that. I just have to be grateful that I'm walking around in this theme park. I'm able to hold my daughter's hand. You know, I'm able to put my daughter on my shoulders. I've met people in the past that have back issues and they've told me, like, Luke, I can't even pick up my daughter because my back hurts. And I'm like, oh, I'm missing a leg and I can still do that shit.
I know people that can't walk around a theme park, you know? They got all their limbs just out of shape and obese or, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And you know, there's a tool that I do, like this, it can be known as quite a selfish way. I do look at other people. I try not to compare, but I'm like, I can still do this. And I'm looking at the society around me and I'm like, man, they can't do that. I can. And that's one thing that I do use to fuel my motivation, that I'm still able to do a lot of what people can't. But again, there's still certain things that I can't, you know. I can't go to the park and kick a football and run around as much as I want to, but I can do another 20 things still. So yeah, like life, it's a crazy journey. And you know, I might see someone hop a fence and I'll be like, fuck, I remember I could do that. I can't do that no more, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It's funny, in the process of talking about acceptance, it requires a refusal to accept certain things.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm accepting my leg's gone, but I'm refusing to accept that I got to sit here.
Yeah. Yeah.
To accept that my life's over.
Yeah.
And that mentality propels you forward.
Yeah.
As you're finding the workarounds and.
Yeah, definitely. And again, you know, going back to like the adaptive side in adaptive sports, like people do cater for it as well. I've started snowboarding. I've never snowboarded in my life. I can't even go on a skateboard without falling backwards. And I went snowboarding. They have a prosthetic leg that allows me to do that. This leg that I've got has a snowboarding feature. It's not as good as the prosthetic leg because it gives me ankle movement. If you've done snowboarding yourself, you understand. But I'm on the ski slopes in the UK, and there's like, you can see my leg, and there's people there. Like I'm nowhere near good at it, but I give it a go. But I'm seeing people again that have two legs that are struggling, and it's like they're looking at me, and I'm like, it's like I want to be motivation. Like, man, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And that's something that kind of lures me. I want to do these things. You know, I haven't really spoke to anyone about it. I spoke to Jamie about it, but when I was on my hospital bed, the one thing that I was like, I'm doing Kilimanjaro, I'm doing it. And I've done my research, double amputees have done it. That's enough fuel for me to be like, if a double amputee can do Kilimanjaro, mm-hmm. I can do it. And you know, one thing with me, my body will stop me before my mind stops me. And that's another thing, you know, people give up and I'm like, don't give up. Even people that I'm with now, they might complain that my ankle's hurting. I'm like, I ain't got a leg. You know, or someone's cut the leg open. That's a scratch off the surface. You haven't lost your leg. Like, use me for your motivation.
Yeah.
Like, and some, you know, and people was like, you know, it works, Luke, because that's the way they look it. Don't feel bad because you're looking at a life like that. But like, I'm going to do Kilimanjaro and I'm going to show people that no matter what, you can climb up that mountain. Cool, and another funny thing is that people don't consider Kilimanjaro. My leg, I need to charge it every day. Like, okay, so how am I going to charge my leg? I've spoke to some of the tour guides. We can carry a generator for you. Was working around problems. Like, and I'm like, some poor person's got to carry a generator for me, but you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just a goal for me. And that means more to me than it would to, you know, it's crazy because people say to me this whole Olympics thing, like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Of course it is. It is. And I know that I can go there, but at this moment where I am in life, like we spoke about, spending time with my kids, spending time out here is the most important thing for me. And that's, you know, climbing Kilimanjaro is totally different to me going to the Olympics. You know, do it, Kilimanjaro, you know, that's me in my own lane, just doing what I want to do at my own pace. Whereas, you know, the athlete part of it, like, I am an athlete, I know I am, but I'm aware what that's going to take, and that's going to take a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice. I'm not willing to sacrifice that at the moment. And you know, I don't regret it one single bit. I know that I could have a break from a year, and in a year I could jump back in a boat and be like, I smashed this. You know, I was hitting PBs a lot of the time. Like, I just know it was there, but I just choose not to, you know. Yeah,
that's good. Your shirt says on a mission. What's your mission?
On a mission to inspire people and not let my accident define who I am. And keep it moving. Yeah, on a mission to keep plowing through life, and just whatever life throws at me, F you, I'm gonna keep it moving. I'm not gonna let that stop me.
Love that.
Yeah.
This is so cool for me because I remember growing up, like, you're like the person in our family I looked up to the most and got the most excited to see. And all my family growing up lived in England. Mm-hmm. So obviously I didn't have cousins around me. I didn't have close family members, and I struggled to feel close to people friend wise, but I also struggled to feel close to family members. And I've talked to you about that tons of times.
Yeah.
But like every time I would see Luke, like I would like feel close to somebody and feel excited and have somebody I looked up to. And then, it's even more so now, like seeing you overcome like this thing that breaks a lot of people, that gives them an excuse to give up on their health, give up on being the best dad they can be, give up on wanting to better their life. Like you're wanting to move over here and open a business and do all these things. And like your average person who has all their limbs is like sitting on the couch saying, why me?
Yeah.
And you're fighting through not saying why me. Like it's fucking badass.
I appreciate that. And it, you know, that's, it's such an ironic thing. You know, you sit here and, you know, inspiring, but man, you know, listening to your journey, bro, and what you've been through, like that inspires me. Training with you last Friday, honestly, that motivated me so much. And I'm like, you're an animal. And it's just funny, isn't it? You know, you look at me and it's like, it's motivating. And I'm like, bro, I look at you. You motivate me. You inspire me. And everyone in this community, this, you know, that's here, like everyone has a story. Listening to people's stories is, I do that all day. I listen to people's stories because you can learn from that. And, you know, you can listen to my story. You can go on YouTube and listen to the greatest speaker story. But sometimes what you have to do is just take bits from each person's story and see what works for you. You know, I might say that I do this every morning, you know, I do my breath work, I do this, da, da, da. Might not work for someone. You know, some people might say, meditate, like that's brilliant. You know, I do it, I have done it, but some people just can't do that. You like, don't be too caught up in what everyone else does sometimes. Just try and take little things and try it. If it don't work, try something else. That's all you can do is try. And that's what having hope is. You know, you have to have hope. As soon as that hope goes, it's like you say, you know, you can sit there and let it define you and just be like, yeah, I'm not doing this today. I'm not doing that today. You know, and even being, I'm an active person, you know, cons and pros of having a prosthetic leg, it's brilliant. It helps me get to A to B. But the last few days I've had a lot of aches and pains, and it restricts what I can't do. And that absolutely kills me. We went to the zoo the other day and I'm like, I think we're going to have, like, mentally, I'm like, I'm going to plow through this. I'm thinking of the fitness. I'm thinking of the steps like I want to. And my partner's like, Luke, get the little buggy. I'm like, I don't want to. I want to get the steps in. And I'm like, that's just the way that I'm programmed and the way that I am. But again, I have to take that loss sometimes and be like, Luke, like, I'm going to hurt myself more than what it is. I need to rest. So for the last few days, I've been in pain. That upsets me. It makes me sad. But like, you know what? Probably will listen to my partner when I go Target. And this is the funny thing. Every time I go Target, I get on the little buggies. I let my daughter sit on there. She wants to do that. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I want to take the steps. And then my partner's like, but Luke, just rest. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm going to sit on this buggy and I'm going to teach her how to drive. And you know what? She's a brilliant driver on these buggies now. Everyone looks at me sometimes. I'm like, I don't think you're meant to have kids doing this. And she loves it. And again, I'm just trying to incorporate things to work around things as much as I don't want to sit on my bum and be, in my head, that's being lazy, but I have to accept that I'm in pain and, you know, just roll with it and push through it. And again, work around it.
I think there's a lot of people out there, I know I was one of them, still to this day it's better, but it still struggles, is we have a very unhealthy relationship with rest.
Yeah,
just in general. Yeah, and I think it's global. It's definitely pervasive in the United States with some of the mentality and stuff that's promoted online and that kind of stuff. But rest is really, really necessary.
Yeah,
it's important. And it's also, I think, a very telling sign of you caring for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Very true. Yeah, you do have to rest 100%. But I think just over time, the mindset that I have, that it's just built up, it's just like, just keep going. Just keep going, you know. I just don't want the leg to define and stop me. And I suppose it's kind of a battle that I have in my head. It's also like,
I could have done that before though. I could have walked, like, we went Disneyland before we come here, and like I have a thing, is like I will march the family all around Disney and until 9 o'clock at night. And it must have got to about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and I'm like, I am knackered. And my partner, she was like, me too. She was like, I think, you know, we are getting older, it's getting harder. I'm like, nah, I'm not accepting that. This isn't age, because if I'm 50, I still wanna be. I've come to the conclusion my leg is hurting, and that's what it is. And but, you know, again, like, oh, should we just go and sit down in a restaurant and enjoy one of the shows, or do this or do that? So yeah, it's yeah, like life is funny the way that it works out. Yeah, it's crazy.
We always ask guests this question when we're closing up.
Yeah,
I've really enjoyed our conversation, so I appreciate everything you share with us and coming out here. The person who might be sitting, maybe there's a person who recently had an accident or is sick or could be struggling with, you know, mental health or substance use. What's your message to a person who is suffering at the moment?
So a person that's suffering at the moment, you know, for starters, sit there and just be grateful for what you have at the moment. Some people may sit there and be like, yeah, but I don't have this, don't have that. Like, you know, I refuse that. There's gonna be something that you are grateful for. So just appreciate that, because in life, again, I think the human brain is designed to look for the negatives straight away, and those negatives can overpower the positives that you have. So, you know, be grateful. Again, like what I said earlier on, you know, you gotta have hope. You gotta have hope that there's gonna be light at the end of the tunnel. There's gonna be something there, and you know, you have to go searching for it. Sometimes you can sit there and you may get that opportunity, but you have to go looking for it. You have to put yourself, like myself, into these communities, into these situations. And, you know, that would be the best thing that you would do, is to put yourself in these situations. You know, it's easy for me to say, like, just never give up, because there will be something out there eventually.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it really. And I feel like I'm sitting here and I'm saying it with ease, because there has to be more than that. It's, you know, it's just what's worked for me, and, you know, having that resilience, and that just builds up over time, overcoming these obstacles.
Yeah. I like it.
We talk about that a lot, capacity.
Yeah.
How it builds over time.
For sure. Are you are you online? Do you have a social you want to?
So Al _ Aston is my Instagram. I haven't actually, you know, my partner said this from day one. She was like, Luke, because I have so many videos of me like learning to walk in wheelchairs. And, you know, I probably should have documented it. But I think at the time, the way that I dealt with it was I just wanted to ghost and just get out of my hometown and just heal on my own. That was me. So I actually haven't, but now that, you know, everything's over, the legal side of it, I feel like I can put myself out there a little bit more, and, you know, hopefully I can move over to Texas, and I think I'd like to document that and inspire people.
So the if you do that, the Instagram that you have is, say that one more time.
So it's Al_Aston, Aston. So cool. Yeah, you know, anyone can reach out to me. You know, I'm more than happy to speak to people. I love speaking to people, and I think opening up is one of the best things that you can do as well. You know, so touching back when you says, you know, whatever someone's going through, there will be that one person that you can speak to, that you can unwind to. You know, there's people out there that sometimes I've done it to certain people, and you tell them just like, oh yeah, yeah. So, you know, I want a bit more than that. You know, but there will be people online, you know. Another thing what I've done, sorry, was, so I went on Facebook and I just put amputee group, and, you know, there's thousands of people on there that are on the same journey, and you can just message them.
Yeah.
You get tips, and I'm from this day, I'm still on these groups, and I see people post like, oh, my partner's left me, I'm doing this and that, and, you know, just I'll message them and just be like, you know, just I'm here if you want to speak.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. And yeah, it helps. Speaking is everything, because you hold it into, you can hold these emotions in, and it's a lot worse to hold these emotions in. Oh, yeah, for sure. let it out and speak. And again, you know, what you're doing, this community is amazing, because that's all you do is speak. And sometimes that's the best healing process you can do, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah,
and absolutely. It makes you realize that you're not alone. There's other people out there that are in the similar path.
Mr. Corliss, you want to tell people where they can find you?
My Instagram is Jamie, Jamie dot Corliss, Corless.
You got a sponsor yet or what?
No, I need somebody to sponsor me. Make me a sponsored athlete. I got a CrossFit comp tomorrow.
I'm giving them shit because Nelly got a sponsor already. So.
Yeah, it looks pretty bunk to me.
They have a little competition going. You can find us at Emotion Wellness, Emotion Wellness, or emotion.wellness.podcast. You can find us at emotionwellness.com online and emotion.wellness.therapy on both Facebook and Instagram. This podcast is going to be on Apple and Spotify. You can also find me at the_motionguy on Instagram. Until next time, we'll see you. Thanks again.
Movement's medicine.
Thank you for connecting with us on today's episode of the Emotion Podcast, where we discuss all things mental health. Connect every week as we explore incredibly intimate stories of persistence and hope, delve into mental health education, and explore valuable resources. Available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And visit emotionwellness.com for more information.